Detective Absalom Kearney took the exit for the Skyway, and the Ford nosed upward, climbing with the gray asphalt. Lake Erie was frozen over far below and to her right. To her left, Buffalo's industrial waterfront slept as quiet and still as an oil painting. The factory smokestacks rode past, even with her windshield, but not a smudge of smoke drifted up from them. The waterfront was dead, slumbering for the past 3 decades. When Absalom used to ride along this part of the highway with her father 20 years before, she'd sometimes hear the smokestacks keen as the storm winds hit them. She rolled down the window. The smokestacks were silent. The squall hadn't peaked yet. The crest of the road was ahead, only slate-colored sky beyond. 3 stories up, the Skyway was a ribbon of concrete spilled across the clouds. The wind shook the car with a guttering rattle. Abby gripped the wheel harder. She felt the fear grow inside her again, blooming like a growing rose in a sped-up film. She took the Skyway every time she had to go to South Buffalo instead of driving down the 90, where the highway hugged the earth all the way to the exit at Seneca Street, by the junkyard that seemed to hold the same 100 wrecked cars she'd seen there as a child. Abby told herself she took the road above the lake because she wanted to face the thing that terrified her. Which was what, exactly? White tendrils of snow skimmed ahead of her Ford Crown Vic pushed by the wind. The front edge of the storm was blowing in, spinning a spiderweb of frozen lace on the asphalt. Her eyes followed them as the road rose. Endlessly intricate patterns, hypnotic to watch them form and break, form and break. There were no cars up ahead, not a single red brake light in the tall, rippling curtains of snow. The empty highway made her think that if she moved the wheel just 2 inches to the right, she would put the car into the railing. A lull, the bang of ice, and then water. Lake Erie in January was a freezing tomb. Death in 15 minutes. She'd looked it up. Whether to calm herself or scare herself, she had no idea. She could almost hear the snow crystals scour the asphalt. They made a rough, hissing sound that grated on your eardrums. It was like the shushing of a dog sled heading into blankness, disappearing into the advancing storm. Abby leaned and turned up the radio, which the last detective had tuned to a country station and which she hadn't bothered to change. She found the University of Buffalo station playing some obscure 80s synth music. When she told her partner Z about how odd she felt driving Buffalo highways, he'd asked her why. She'd brushed it off then, but now she knew. It's the emptiness. The enormous emptiness. Or the loneliness. That was it. The feeling of being alone in a place that should be filled with other people. Cars full of families headed to the supermarket, to the restaurant on the lake, to the hockey game. Buffalo had built miles of highways during the boom years, enough for 1 million people. The people that were going to come, but didn't. Why not? Where'd they disappear to? What happened to them? Now the gray roads splayed across the city, empty half the time. The local joke was the only way Buffalo would get a rush hour was if Toronto got hit by a nuclear bomb and panicked Canadians came pouring south. You could drive for 20 minutes at a time at 3 on a weekday afternoon and not see another car pass you. The highway system was a network of veins laid across a dead heart. But she couldn't talk about those things because eyes were already on her. She'd only been in Buffalo PD for 1 year. At 31, she was already on her 2nd police job. If she messed this up like she did Miami. The radio crackled. Detective Kearney, this is dispatch. McDonough wants to know your ETA. A missing persons case in the county. Must be a family with some connection to the department, because the missing guy had only been gone since Monday. Just 2 days. And the officer on scene had called in to check on Abby's progress, making the family think their missing son or daughter was a priority. Usually, they would just ask the family if Danny or Mara preferred crystal meth or alcohol. She kept her eyes on the yellow line as she reached to pick up the handset. The radio was mounted far enough away to give legroom for a bigger person. That is, one of the sprawling 6-foot men that the department seemed to breed, not the average-sized Abby. Finally, she hooked the cord with a French-polished fingernail and brought the handset up. Kearney to dispatch, she said in a husky voice. 20 minutes. 10-4.